This segment will be brought to you by Let's Go Right Here. Helping you get back to living through orthopedic care, it is Des Moines Orthopedic DMOS. DMOS Orthopedic Centers. Helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Gotta like that. Right now, the Ankeny Clinic is closed. It'll be opening up at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. If you did have something that happened, West Des Moines, wait time is right around 1 hour. You can always go online and request an appointment. You can also call 515-224-1414. All kinds of services. They'll take care of foot and ankle, hand therapy, hand and upper extremity, hip, knee, physical therapy, shoulder, spine, sports medicine, trauma, urgent injury. If you're looking for a specific doctor or an area of specialty, either way, we want to get you to the right place. Here's our locations. Here's our services. Here's doctors. They go in here. You can see what the doctors do, what their specialties are. And it's a great website. It also shows that, you know what, some injuries can't wait. Our urgent care injury clinics, you can be seen without an appointment. The clinic typically has lower copays than a trip to the ER. That's really good stuff to know. You can make an appointment, you can get evaluated, you can get back to living. That's what they want to do. They do have, they help a lot of area sporting teams. Dowling Catholic Maroons, Des Moines Buccaneers, Johnson Dragons, Grandview, Des Moines Menace, Simpson College, Southeast Polk, West Des Moines Soccer Club, East, Urbandale, and Dallas Center Grimes. I like this when you get a testimonial. I could give you testimonials too, but that would be said. I've seen multiple doctors in this group with myself and my two children. All three of us have had sports injuries, Achilles tendon tear, repair broken shoulders, and three stress fractures. We saw many of the doctors in the group, and they are all very caring and very excellent doctors. I want to give a shout out to the hand surgeon as well, as I've had several hand surgeries and I've had great results. I highly recommend DMOS. Thank you for your wonderful care and professionalism. I couldn't say it any better than that. I consider some of the doctors to be friends because of seeing them outside of DMOS and seeing them inside of DMOS. So I agree with that assessment. Okay, let's finish up a little bit here on – oh, so thank you once again for Des Moines Orthopedic for being a part of the program. More doctors coming for interviews. They're just really busy right now. So luckily for me, I have the ability to record these interviews, so hopefully we can get them taken care of. Okay, so I think we ended with Cleveland, Carolina. Carolina's downfall is they don't have a quarterback. You know, if you look at any of these teams, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have right now. Pittsburgh, as good as their defense is and as good as all that, man, they're going to struggle a little bit. They just are. Atlanta, going to struggle a little bit. New Orleans has the – this is the great thing about New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans would be the perfect 9-8, 8-9 team. And the way you figure out which one you are is, does Jameis Winston have 9 good games, 8 bad games, or 8 bad games – or 8 good games and 9 bad games? Because he has the capability of doing both. You don't know what Chicago has right now. San Francisco's a mess because they don't know what they have in Trey Lance. And the flip side of that is they know what they have in Jimmy Garoppolo. And neither one of them, except for the 1 year that Jimmy Garoppolo was a couple of plays away from winning a Super Bowl, you don't know what you're getting. Philadelphia and Detroit have had quarterbacks that show signs. Jared Goff is not as bad a quarterback as what you can been led to believe. He always hasn't had the most talent around him. I'm here to tell you that if they ran an offense, now maybe, because I'm not going to pick on McVay, Coach McVay. Maybe he just couldn't trust Jared Goff and he can trust Matthew Stafford. But they didn't run an offense like they had last year. I have that in Baltimore. I want them to turn Lamar Jackson loose. And I think they're scared to turn Lamar Jackson loose. You have that same feeling in Miami. I feel bad for my partner in crime here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Man, you got him a lot of weapons. Can he throw the ball to them? We don't know. The New England Patriots. Mac Jones has to be able to do more than you allowed him to do last year, and now he has a different person in his ear. Talk to Tom Brady about, was it Bill Belichick or Josh McDaniels, and see what Tom Brady says. I think I know what Tom Brady says. Jacksonville finally has a coach. It's going to take Doug Peterson 16 months just to dewire Coach Meyer. I rhymed that. Didn't even know I was going to. The New York Jets. If Zach Wilson is not. Is that. Am I right? I hate that. I wanted to call him Zach Taylor, but I thought that's a coach. Zach Wilson. Is Zach Wilson his quarterback? I wish I had that answer. Can Carson Wentz take the Washington Commanders to a whole new level? I don't even know if the quarterback was their issue last year. The Cleveland Browns is a mess again. Look how quickly that turned into a mess. Houston Texans, long ways away. Indianapolis Colts, now you're going to find out. Because Chris Ballard's either extremely, extremely smart, or he probably just cost himself a job. The New York Giants have no idea if Daniel Jones is their quarterback, and the Tennessee Titans have no idea if Ryan Tannehill's theirs. And if you think that you can win a Super Bowl with only Derrick Henry, it's not happening, folks. Green Bay and Minnesota. See, here's the crazy thing. If I'm betting that game, I'm betting Minnesota on that first game. And this is one of the things that I read I read it a few days ago. I heard it during the draft. So when this came out today, I wrote it down. Alan Lazard is a great kid. We see each other. We say hi. Played football against my oldest Zach. He's a great kid. In 2020, Alan Lazard had a drop rate of 10.9%. And that was pretty high. So once you do that once, it's just every scouting report. Let him try to catch the ball. He can't catch the ball. And he's doing this Davante Adams is using his speed and agility to get one-on-one coverage and getting out and away. Alan Lazard's coming across the middle, turning routes. I mean, he's getting pounded on. Guess what his drop pass rate was last year? 1.7%. He dropped one pass the entire year. Do I think Alan Lazard is the number one wide receiver in this league? No. Do I think Alan Lazard is better than I'll have to read what I just got texted. That was kind of funny. I think Alan Lazard's going to have a really good year. I just don't know. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to have to trust him even more than he has before. He's kind of been his outlet. Whenever he needs somebody tough and to get a tough yard or a tough touchdown or a tough first down, that's who he throws the ball to. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. with Green Bay. Minnesota is in the same boat as the rest of these teams. You can't be in the upper echelon of this football league if you don't have a good quarterback. And Kirk Cousins is not that quarterback. Kirk Cousins is a quarterback that can get you 24 of 38 for 292 yards and three touchdowns, but two picks and a fumble and a bad play call. Or a pass that should have been completed that wasn't. And he's just not going to win games. There's 17-game schedule. He has the ability to win you eight. That means you're under 500. Kansas City and Arizona. Kansas City, this is going to be the year for Kansas City, because now I don't know. See, this is a really funny thing for me. I don't know how well Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill got along. I think Patrick Mahomes works hard. I don't know if Tyreek Hill does. Maybe I'm wrong. Patrick Mahomes is going to have five guys that are wide receivers, and none of them, except for Travis Kelce, and he checks his ego every day. None of them have an ego. None of them say, you have to get me the ball 10 times a game. What you have to do if you're the Kansas City Chiefs is, I think you need to keep Patrick Mahomes in the pocket more than he was. I think you need Patrick Mahomes to ad-lib much less than what he did and just throw the ball when somebody's open and get yards, or throw it away. Too many interceptions and too many fumbles by trying to make plays that probably didn't have to be made. When you look at the Arizona Cardinals, they have to protect Kyler Murray. All I ever hear is, well, he's small. Okay, but he is also agile and he can get around. But you can't let him get crushed. I still don't know. I mean, they were thinking about, I'm going to keep the coach and I'm going to keep the general manager, and Kyler Murray's not very good. I'm telling you, get rid of the general manager, who is horrible, and get rid of the coach, because I don't think he does a good enough job, and get him in a system that actually works for him. Put Kyler Murray in Patrick Mahomes' system and see how much Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes are the same person. The Las Vegas Raiders and the Los Angeles Rams is the game of opening weekend. It's at 3:25. It's in SoCal. It's at SoFi Stadium. And you're talking, what can the Raiders do with Josh McDaniels, Davante Adams, and David Carr? He now has a true weapon. What can he do? And then you have Dallas and Tampa Bay. I think Dallas is in for a, I think they're in for a down year. I don't know. I hope not, because my buddy Travis, that's his team, and when he's happier, we're all happier because of his Dallas Cowboys. And then you end up with Denver and Seattle. And it's in Seattle. And everybody's going to boo Russell Wilson. And you know who they should be booing? The general manager and Pete Carroll and the ownership group, who chose Pete Carroll over Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson leaves Seattle, and they're picked to be the worst team in the NFL. Russell Wilson goes to a 4-5, 6 win team in Denver, and their odds for a Super Bowl go up tenfold. The only thing people remember is the one time that Pete Carroll should have actually done a Pete Carroll thing, and that would have been hand the ball off. He didn't. He called the play that you don't call on your 5-yard line, 4-yard line. I think Pete Carroll was a good coach for the time that he had Seattle on the cuffs of being a 1, 2, 3, 4 Super Bowl team. And then the league outsmarted him, and he got older, and his players got older, and he trusted Russell less and less and less. And he should have been not trusting his thought process less and less and less. And that is not what happened. And what a great game. I mean, talk about the NFL smacking somebody upside the head and saying, man, let's talk about this game on TV. Let's talk about Seattle, who people have over-under on of 4. And Denver, who's now has an over-under of 11. Man, the times have changed, folks. And those are just the first weekend games. You are going to have games like this all season long. And you're going to get the chance to see some teams that can do some fun stuff. Right now, the power rankings out there have it Rams, Bucks, Chiefs, Bengals, Broncos, Bills, Packers, Ravens, Chargers, Colts. There's your top 10. The Colts may have the best roster of people that nobody knows. Now they just need to know what Matt Ryan can do in the next 2 to 3 years. I think the Chargers are a little high because I don't trust their coach, and Justin Herbert can make mistakes. I think the Ravens are a little high because I don't know what Lamar Jackson's going to do, and I don't know if they can run an offense that actually helps him. I think the Bengals may be a little high because people are going to get up for that game now instead of walking in saying, oh, we're playing the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll see what happens. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Be right back with B Styles.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3. You're listening to Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Welcome. It's Friday. We're almost to the weekend here. Be safe driving home. Have a good night. Got all kinds of sports going on. It's going to be fun. Too many things. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. We are proud that we get to talk to my buddy today. I missed him last week, and hope everything's going well for him. It's Brendan Styles. He is at the B Styles on Twitter. B, how you doing, buddy?
Much better than I was last week when I was originally supposed to come on and had to bail there. But yeah, you were just talking about everything that's going on right now. It's crazy. There were 6 game sixes last night. You got 5 more of them tonight.
It's amazing.
And then at least 3 game sevens tomorrow in the NHL. So, yeah, it's definitely a fun time to be watching sports for sure.
Which one is piquing your interest the most?
Are you talking about the games tonight?
Oh, just in general, before we get to that. I mean, is it hockey kept you in more? The NBA kept you in more? Baseball?
They both have. I would say baseball is probably third behind the other two right now. But, like, that's mainly because the other two are in their playoff formats at the moment. Obviously, the thing that I enjoy about the NHL and with their playoff format is the fact that you have overtime games that are sudden death. So any time where you have a situation like last night where Toronto played Tampa Bay and that game went to overtime, that could have been something where had the Maple Leafs won, they would have knocked out the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champions. And instead, Tampa Bay ended up winning the game. They forced the game 7, but the beauty of it is you had no idea when that goal was going to be scored and by who.
No.
You know, for all we know, the game could have gone on for an hour. It could have ended 5 minutes sooner, some of the opportunities that Toronto had. So that's why I enjoy that. And then the NBA, obviously, the drama is always there. And you're just kind of waiting to see, okay, is it going to be something where the teams, what you're expecting, is it going to finally happen, or are you going to be surprised at some point? And I think about last night, Dallas forcing a game 7, that might be a bit of a surprise. Whereas Philadelphia and, you know, how the fact that you had Doc Rivers and James Harden in an elimination game, that may not have been as much of a surprise in retrospect. So that's where the beauty of the NBA one comes into play.
I ranked these earlier today. I want you to see if you can rank them as well. I'm going to give you,
sure.
I'm going to give you a caveat, and I'll comment on it too. But I'm going to give you rank them 1 through 4: Joel Embiid, Giannis, Jokic, and Doncic.
Who? I would have to say right now. I mean, we're not talking like, are we talking MVP or are we talking like just in general?
I'm talking building my team and I'm going to win games.
Building your team and you're going to win games. Then at that point, I think you have to probably put either Giannis or Luka one. Luka, because you have, he's the one guy that's a guard, and you obviously need to have a guard that could not only shoot but could also distribute like he can. But then you have somebody like Giannis who he's kind of, you know, in a league of his own in the sense of what he's able to do on the court and what his resume has already shown and what it's capable of still becoming here. So I guess if I would probably lean towards one of those two guys if I had to go, if I had to pick out of those four. Then I would probably maybe say Joel Embiid third, and then Jokic fourth.
See, and I had Giannis one, I had Doncic two, I had Joker three, and Embiid four.
Okay.
More based on who can I get the most games out of, because I worry about that with Joel.
That's true.
Joel. Now, I throw a kicker in there, tell me where you put him. Where do you put Jason Tatum?
Oh, wow. I think eventually he's going to be second to Luka on that list, or it might even be first. To me, I think it's going to be something where in the next, like, if it's not in the next year, it'll be in the next 2 or 3 years, the three faces of the NBA are going to be Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum, and Ja Morant.
Yep,
provided that he can stay healthy.
I agree. And the thing, I listened to it again today, a couple of different shows today. Luka's
sure.
22 years old. He has 4 months mm-hmm. before he turns 23, and he's been playing professional yep. basketball since he was 14.
Right. Well, I think it's something where he's probably, of those three guys I mentioned, he's probably, if he's not the most likely to win an MVP, he's probably going to be the one who ends up with the most or the one with the best shot at winning multiple. I do think as long as the Celtics have a window, though, Jason Tatum, because he's around that same age, too. So he's going to be in a position where he could grow. And if you're a Celtics fan, that's got to be something that really excites you, knowing that the face of your franchise, you could still get another good 7 or 8 years out of him at the least.
Yeah, I totally agree with that as well. I do want to get some NFL in here. I'm going to hit
sure.
you up with some Iowa stuff really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Barta, just my opinion, needs to shut
I
up.
I knew this was coming.
I mean, the one thing that you don't want administration from your university to say is exactly what he came out and made sure there were people there to write it down and
yep.
talk about it. That is, you know, I'm perfectly fine with Iowa, the way they're coached, the way they recruit, all of that. You can't take something away by saying you don't like it and you don't want it here.
Right. And, you know, if I could just add to that, even if it gets to a point where he tries to clarify his remarks, it's already the cast has already been die or the die's already been cast, if you will. And it's a matter of, okay, this is something that, you know, I don't know how often coaches would use something that an AD would say in recruiting, but this could be something now that, like you're saying, this could hurt Iowa in the long term, just with that particular comment that he made about how you want it to go back to the way it was. It's never going to be that way again.
No.
Basically, Pandora's box has been opened. You're not going to get it back to the way it was.
And I get that the way it was, Iowa was in a really good spot. They were winning.
Right.
They were making bowl games. They were making NCAA tournaments.
And they still can. And,
yeah, but they're just scared of what might be. And I'm like, you know what? And for them, you know, not that – here's a really funny thing for Fran McCaffrey, who he can never win.
Right.
everybody, when he took the Murray twins, he said, that is, why in the world would you give them scholarships? They don't deserve them. And now people are turning it the other way and saying, how could you not keep them there longer? Or, I mean, so Fran's in a no-win. Kirk Ferentz is in a no-win. Sure. I mean, seriously, it's not in their DNA to do. But you don't think that they didn't have people out there reaching out to some other quarterbacks maybe that could jump in a transfer portal and make – they have a really good team coming back, B, and one of the weakest spots on it is a quarterback.
All right. Well, and if I could just go back to Fran for a second, I think about even like when I was covering him, he's recruited. It's not even just about the guys he's gotten to Iowa. You got to also think about some of the guys that he just missed out on.
Yeah.
You know, I remember vividly a time when they played Michigan and Trey Burke was a freshman and he was just like, yeah, I tried recruiting him. He wasn't coming to Iowa at that point.
Yeah.
You think about the Tyler Ulis one's the one that's going to be that still stands out in everyone's mind to this day. But like it's been something where he's been able to identify talent early on, and it's just a matter, and he's been able to draw interest from kids, but it's just a matter of when those other schools come into play. And I think you can make a similar case with Kirk Ferentz as well, except for him, it's almost been the reverse because he's always looking for those diamond in the rough type of players that maybe are only getting an opportunity. Like I think about Mike Daniels, for example. He, I think, believe was going to Villanova before Kirk Ferentz came into the picture and got him to come to Iowa. And that's just one of many examples of guys like that who, you know, weren't getting looked at all, barely. And then Iowa comes in right around signing day, manages to get them at the last minute, and then they develop into guys that you see playing in the NFL on Sundays.
My thought on that too was, you know, JJ Cole going to Iowa State was a good get for mm-hmm. them because they really needed that. JJ Cole going to the University of Iowa would have been a game changer for Iowa because it's a different type of quarterback than what they've had.
Right.
Athletic and big. You know, Drew Tate was athletic, but he wasn't big. And then you had others that were big, but not athletic. To have both, mm-hmm. like right now, Kirk Ferentz has his perfect quarterback. If he could take all three of them and mix them together and get himself one, he has his quarterback.
True. But I think for him, it's also just a matter of, yes, he wants his quarterback to be able to make plays, but I think the bigger thing is just making sure they don't screw it up. And they're always kind of risk averse when it comes to turnovers. That's something that's always been the case under him. And sometimes that can hold the team back, but more often than not, it does work, especially when they're going up against inferior opponents. You're thinking, okay, you're just waiting for them to make a mistake, and then you're going to pounce on it, and then you're going to be able to score and not look back.
Here is another thing, just getting back to Gary Barta, too, and this kind of popped into my mind again, that and I understand that Jordy Bohannon is now left, but the McCaffrey brothers are at this point, too, and with Caitlin Clark. He has... at that school, four of the biggest NIL backing out there young athletes that you could have in this country. Now, some other athletes are out there because people are throwing money at them, but I mean that actually care about NIL and mm-hmm. care about what its true meaning is, which is going out and helping in the community and getting money back for doing that. And you come mm-hmm. out and say something like that. That's almost slapping Caitlin Clark on top of the head.
How about Tyler Linderbaum and he did for the Children's Hospital?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. So, and you mentioned Caitlin Clark. She's going to be one of the faces of women's basketball so for the next couple of years. And everyone's going to be looking at Iowa at that. So, yeah, I totally agree with you in that regard.
If we're looking, and once again, we're talking to Brendan Styles. He's at DB Styles on social media. When you're looking at the NFL power rankings right now,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, I mean, I don't know how you don't go Rams, Bucks, Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, Packers, and then you can go. I mean, the funny thing is when you look at this, you have to have a quarterback. So that knocks out mm-hmm. three quarters of the teams. So one is, who do you think like the top two are going to be? And I just wanted, just with, you kind of see who Chicago has to play. Just give me a way too early on what you think your Bears can do.
Okay. Well, to answer the first part of your question, I think this is a year that everyone's going to be looking at Buffalo.
I do,
because
too.
Of the fact that they were that close in that playoff game against the Chiefs. You have to think Kansas City, they might still win the AFC West, but they're going to probably take a step back because those other teams all got better. And I think that that's going to open the door for a team like the Bills to maybe go and get home field advantage and put themselves in a position where teams got to go to Buffalo in late January, forget it. Especially if you got to go up against Josh Allen. That's going to be a challenge. But then you look at the NFC, I think the two teams you have to probably look at the most are the two teams that have just won the Super Bowls, the Rams this past year and then the Bucks before that, because you got Tom Brady deciding he's going to come back. So obviously everybody in Tampa Bay is going to want to still play with them. And then you look at the Rams, the fact that they just won it, and you still have Matthew Stafford. You have a chance, if they re-signed Odell, that they could have him healthy for a full season. They still have Aaron Donald. They still have Jalen Ramsey. They still have Sean McVay as their head coach. So, yeah, there are teams that definitely aren't going to go anywhere, and it's just kind of a matter of when you do get to the playoffs, who faces who, and you know, at that point, can teams dictate the matchups the way they want them to be. As far as the Bears go, I think the thing with them is just a matter of how they're able to start the season, because I think the first part of the schedule can be manageable, especially San Francisco. You don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be that first game of the season. Is it going to be Jimmy Garoppolo? Is it going to be Trey Lance? They do have to go to Green Bay. That's unfortunate. But then they get Houston at home. They go to New York to play the Giants. I mean, these are just the first few games on their schedule. They could get off to a decent start, but then it becomes something where if they get off to a good start, can they sustain that through the second half of the season? And if they can't, then maybe they have a shot at a wild card. If they can't, then you're probably looking at a season similar to last year in terms of wins and losses, where maybe it ends up being a 6 or 7 win type of year.
I still think if I'm in that Central Division and Aaron Rodgers doesn't have Devontae Adams, he's a different quarterback. He still may blow the world up, but that was somebody that he could always count on getting open and never dropping a ball.
Well, and the team that I find myself thinking about too is Detroit.
Yep.
Because they can't be much worse than they were last year, and they're building their team the right way.
I agree.
So you got to think at some point that that's going to pay off for the Lions. Maybe not in terms of them winning a division, but being able to possibly compete for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think they're going to beat up on each other a little bit too. So that'll be good. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're doing okay. You're a big part of this show, and good to have you back in your spot, buddy.
Yep, absolutely. I'll talk to you again next week.
All right, man. Take it easy. B Styles. Nice to have him back in. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Be right back.
101.3 FM and 1700 station and this station. Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment of the week. I want to thank B Styles for coming in. Once again, he is at the B Styles on Twitter. Check him out. Good to talk to him again. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Whew, glad it's Friday. It's been a busy week. I want to thank sponsors of the show, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Northwest Bank, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. Once again, Chris Lorenz came in earlier this week. I did that on 5 o'clock on Wednesday. Great interview with him. He is the executive vice president of Palmer Group. Good to have him aboard, and I think we'll have many more conversations. Palmer Group is it's an employment company. They're out there trying to find work for you on both sides. They're trying to help companies find employees, and they're trying to help employees find companies and make a good match. It's very important. So if you're in these different industries, accounting and finance, admin and customer service, construction, engineering, manufacturing, human resource, information technology, marketing and sales, mortgage and banking, give Palmer Group a call. PalmerGroup.com. Look and see what all they do. Look and see how it can help you and how it can help you find your perfect job. They want to match you to something that you will succeed in. It's very important. And it's a nice avenue to go. And I want to thank Palmer Group, especially for being a part of the program. So like we said earlier, you have two games tonight, the Celtics Bucks. It could be all for the Celtics tonight, or they can push this to a game seven. And you have the Warriors and Grizzlies. It could be the end tonight for the Grizzlies, or they could push it to game seven. So we'll see what happens. Breaking news when we were kind of going in and out of these of B's interview is Phil Mickelson is not going to play in the PGA Championship. He is going to go play in the LIV event. It's just he's got a lot of questions he needs to answer. The PGA, I mean, it's that was probably very uncomfortable it was probably really uncomfortable for those guys. And he I don't think he wanted to go a whole Thursday, Friday, and hopefully a Saturday and Sunday answering all the questions that are out there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Phil's he's a great story. He's a fun watch. And here's the long and short of it, folks. None of these guys are what they are portrayed to be, or can ever hit, you know, being someone that you can put on a pedestal. It just doesn't happen. In order to be good at something like that, you have to be selfish. There's so many different traits that you have to be that aren't good traits to get that far in a singular sport like golf. I'm sorry, but it's just, I don't know. What else do we have? I have so many things. I said earlier that Ben Roethlisberger is not happy with Pittsburgh. Trayvon Walker, the first pick in the draft of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I got a fully guaranteed $37 million contract. I got to do this here because I'm a Big 12 guy, right? And I found this earlier this week. And I put it in my pictures so I could talk about it. It is a comparison of the Texas Longhorns and the Nebraska Cornhuskers since 2010. That's kind of when they both made decisions to do what they do. Their overall records in football. Texas is 83-67. Nebraska is 81-68. Conference championships. None. 10-win seasons. Texas 1, Nebraska 2. Losing seasons. Texas 5, Nebraska 6. Head coaches. Nebraska 3, Texas 4. Now, here's the difference between Texas and Nebraska. How about 100 times? And what do I mean by 100 times? 100 times budget. That's the problem that everybody has with Texas. The people in Texas think they're good because they spend a lot of money and they look nice and they have great facilities. You have to win games. What do they always say? You play to win the game. They play to look good. That's a big difference. I thought that was very interesting. It's something that's going on, and I don't know what you can do about it, and I don't know what I can do about it. I know the U.S. government should be doing more about it. Brittany Griner is getting ready to spend another 30 days in God knows what in Russia for having hemp oil in her luggage. I don't know what the WNBA is done, doing, or can do. I don't know what the U.S. government is done, doing, or can do. Somebody needs to do something. We have traded people or done things with people that have done much worse things. And yet, here we are, not doing anything. I don't understand that. I don't know how that is happening. The MVP watch in the American and National Leagues. I thought that was kind of interesting. You have Manny Machado and Mike Trout. Kind of, you know, on the top rung there. Nolan Arenado from St. Louis. He, you know what he does? He hits the ball, he drives in runs, and he plays good defense at third. The biggest issue for him is that the, I was going to pull it up because I haven't pulled it up in a while. So give me just a second here. St. Louis Cardinals are 17-14, 2.5 games back. And that's okay. When you're talking, Mike Trout, they are 21-12. They're half a game out, right behind the Houston Astros. Jose Ramirez, I think that's an Indian. Aaron Judge. Sohei Ohtani and Vlad Guerrero Jr. Jazz Chisholm Jr., who I don't know who that is, and I feel bad that I don't know who that is. So if somebody... I need help because I couldn't even, let me hold on here. I'm going to go to stats here. See if I can even, he doesn't even pull up on, I'm going to have to look that one up. I apologize. Freddie Freeman is on there too. Juan Soto of the, Nationals is on there as well. I still have a hard time, and I know Ohtani isn't, he's only hitting like 270, but man, he's been pitching really well, and he's been driving in runs. That's a big deal. It's a really big deal. Nobody. Because I don't, yes, Babe Ruth did both, but come on. It's not the same. You shouldn't be able to do, I mean, that's hard to do in 14U. It's hard to do in high school. It's almost impossible to do in college because of just the time and effort it takes to do both. It's not what you should be doing. It's amazing what this young man is doing. And yes, he is a young man. And let's get back one more time. If I had to reiterate something of the day, Luka Doncic is 22 years old. I think he's been in the league for 5 years already. I wonder how many years he has been in the league. Let's give a quick look. I had my golf pool blow up today because a couple of my guys didn't play well. Kind of made me angry today. We'll see how that goes tomorrow. Click there. Click there. I don't have much time. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Go back to yesterday. Click there. He just turned 23. That is incredible. Bio. He was born in 1999. That is crazy. Luka Doncic, everybody. You have been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. See you Monday.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ.